السلام عليكم. أعتذر للتأخر اليوم. I'm sorry for being late. الله يبارك فيكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على النبي محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. والله أسأل أن يوفقنا جميعا لما يحبه ويرضاه. نكمل من حيث كنا وصلنا. Let's continue from where we stopped yesterday. قال الإمام الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه: والأمن والإياس ينقلان عن ملة الإسلام. The author, may Allah have mercy on him, said, deeming oneself safe from the punishment of Allah and despairing of the mercy of Allah, take the committer out of the religion of Islam. معنى كلامه أن الأمن من عذاب الله واليأس أو الإياسة من رحمة الله أمران من أمور الكفر يجعلان المتصف بأي واحد منهما كافرا. This means that deeming oneself safe of the punishment of Allah and despairing of the mercy of Allah are two matters among the matters of blasphemy, two matters that make the one. نعم حبيبي حش. أطول بالك حش طول بالك. Exactly. طول بالك حش. طول بالك طول بالك. ولا يهمك. ما أردتم إلا خيرا. الله يبارك فيك. So these are two matters that take two matters among the matters of blasphemy. If one is attributed with anyone among them, one would be judged as a blasphemer. لأن معنى الأمن من عذاب الله هو اعتقاد العجز في الله تبارك وتعالى عن تنفيذ العقوبة التي توعد بها. Because deeming oneself safe of the torture of Allah here means for one to believe, or entails for one to believe, that Allah does not have the power to torture this person. And despairing of the mercy of Allah entails also believing that Allah does not have the power to have mercy upon the one who committed sins. And each one among these two convictions is blasphemy, of course. فإذا قلنا لأن الأمن من عذاب الله معناه أو يقتضي ظن العجز من الله عن تنفيذ العقوبة التي توعد بها ولأن اليأس من رحمة الله يقتضي ظن العجز في الله تعالى عن تنفيذ عن رحمة العاصي وكل واحد من الأمرين يخرج من الملة وهذا تفسير اليأس من رحمة الله والأمن من عذاب الله عند الحنفية. This is how the Hanafis interpreted these two matters. ولذلك عدوهما كفرا. And this is why they considered them blasphemy. وبعضهم عبر بعبارة أخرى. And some expressed in a different matter, in a different manner. بعضهم قال الأمن من عذاب الله أن يعتقد أن الله لا يعذب على المعصية واليأس من رحمة الله أن يعتقد أن الله لا يرحمه ويغفر له ولو تاب توبة صحيحة وأيضا هذا كفر لا شك هذان من الكفر بلا شك. Some they expressed this matter in a different way. They said feeling safe from the torture of Allah means to believe that Allah does not torture those who commit sins. Allah does not torture the believers for committing sins. Like Al-Murji'ah say, like the saying of Al-Murji'ah. And to despair of the mercy of Allah means to believe that if one commits sins and then repents, a proper repenting, still he would not be forgiven and Allah is going to torture him. Well, this belief also is blasphemy. لأجل هذا التفسير الذي فسر به الحنفية الأمن والإياس عدوهما كفرا. Because the way that the Hanafis explained or interpreted these two matters, they considered them blasphemy. أما الشافعية ففسروهما تفسيرا آخر. As for the Shafi'is, they explained these two matters in a different way. قالوا الأمن من رحمة الله معناه الأمن من عذاب الله معناه أن يعتقد الإنسان في قلبه أن الله سيعذبه ولن يغفر له بسبب ما فعل من الذنوب التي ما تاب منها وأما اليأس من وأما لا إيش قلنا الأمن من عذاب الله لا بالعكس قالوا اليأس من رحمة الله أن يعتقد الإنسان أن الله سيعذبه على ما فعل من الذنوب التي لم يتب منها. والأمن من عذاب الله أن يعتقد أن الله تبارك وتعالى لن يعذبه، لا يعذبه على ما فعل من الذنوب، سيغفر له ما فعل من الذنوب، فيسترسل في المعصية اعتمادا على رحمة الله. لأجل هذا التفسير الشافعية ما عدوا هذين الأمرين كفرا، إنما عدوهما من الذنوب الكبائر. As for the Shafi'is, they said despairing of the mercy of Allah means for one to believe that Allah is going to torture him for the sin that he committed without repenting from them. And feeling safe of the torture of Allah means for one to believe that Allah is not going to torture him, that Allah is going to forgive him the sins that he commits. And because of that, he keeps doing sins relying on the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Because the Shafi'is explained these two matters in this way, this is why they did not consider them blasphemy. Rather, they said they are enormous sins. وَلَوْ فَسَّرَ الشَّافِعِيَّةُ هَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ كَمَا فَسَّرَهُمَا الْحَنَفِيَّةُ لَقَالُهُمَا كُفُرٌ. And had the Shafi'is interpreted these two matters the way the Hanafis did, they would have said that Al-Amn and Al-Iyas are blasphemy, like the Hanafis did. إذن إذا كان الأمر هكذا فما هو طريق النجاة الذي ينبغي أن يكون عليه المؤمن؟ If this is the case, then what is the way of safety in the hereafter that the believer should follow? طريق النجاة هو ما ذكره الطحاوي بعد ذلك بقوله وسبيل الحق بينهما لأهل القبلة. وسبيل الحق بينهما لأهل القبلة. The way of safety is what al-Tahawi mentioned immediately after this statement by saying the right path for the people of the Qibla is to be in between the two matters. فسبيل النجاة للعبد أن يكون بين الخوف وبين الرجاء، يخاف عقاب الله ويرجو رحمة الله. بعض العلماء قال لو كان الخوف شيئا يوزن والرجاء شيء يوزن لتساوت الكفتان لو وضعا في كفتي ميزان. هكذا ينبغي أن يكون حال المؤمن بين الخوف والرجاء في الدنيا. The believer should be in between of these two matters, fearing the torture of Allah and hoping for the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they should be equal, these two matters, fearing the torture and hoping for the mercy. Some scholars said, had they been physical entities, fear and hope, if they are put in a balance, they would have equal weight. This is how the believer should be. قال الله تعالى يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا. As Allah said in the 16th verse of Surah As-Sajdah, يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا, which means they worship Allah and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala out of fear and hope. وقال الله تعالى ويرجون رحمته ويخافون عذابه. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in the 57th verse of Surah Al-Isra, وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ, which means, and they hope for the mercy of Allah and fear the torture of Allah تبارك وتعالى. مدح الله الأتقياء الأصفياء بهذا. Allah praised the pious, righteous people by having this situation. فَعُلِمَ أَنَّ هَذَا مَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ عَلَيْهِ حَالُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. By this it is known that this is how the believer should be. قَالُوا إِلَّا عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ فَيُغَلِّبُ جَانِبَ الرَّجَاءِ. The scholars said, except at the time of death. At that time, the person leans more towards hoping of the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. إذن في حال حياته يكون بين الخوف والرجاء وعند الموت يغلب جانب الرجاء. So the person during his life would be in between these two matters, hoping for the mercy of Allah and fearing the torture of Allah. But while he is dying, he gives more weight to hope for the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is how one should be. قال رحمه الله ولا يخرج العبد من الإيمان إلا بجحود ما أدخله فيه. The author said, the slave of Allah does not exit faith except by denouncing what admitted him into it. يعني إذا كذب الإنسان بالدين خرج منه. أيش الذي يدخل الإنسان في الإسلام؟ التصديق بالقلب مع النطق باللسان. فإذا حصل منه ما ينافي ما يضاد هذا التصديق الذي دخل به في الإيمان يخرج بذلك من الإسلام والعياذ بالله تعالى. How does one embrace Islam? By believing in one's heart and uttering with the testification of faith. If one holds a conviction that contradicts this belief by which he entered al-Islam, this takes him out of that, out of al-Islam. He becomes a blasphemer. سواء هذا بالنسبة للقلب. This is in what pertains to the heart. وهو يعرف نفسه في هذا. And one knows oneself about this matter. قد يظهر الشخص لنا الإسلام وهو في قلبه خرج من الإسلام. A person might claim to be a Muslim while truly in his heart he hates al-Islam. ومثل ذلك ما لو حصل منه فعل يدل على هذا التكذيب الذي في القلب. Likewise, if someone does an act that shows the bad conviction that one holds in one's heart. كما لو سجد لصنم. Like if the person prostrates to an idol. فإنه يكفر بذلك. يخرج من الإسلام بذلك. He goes out of Islam by that. ومثل ذلك لو تلفظ بلفظ دال على التكذيب والاستخفاف بالدين. Likewise, if one utters a statement that holds the meaning of belittling the religion or mocking it, فإنه يخرج من الدين بذلك. He goes out of the religion by that. وهنا تنبيه مهم. Let me draw your attention here to something which is important. التكذيب قد يكون صريحا وقد يكون ضمنا. Belying the religion might be with something which is explicit saying for one to say, for example, I do not believe in al-Islam, for example. And it might be implied الضمني مثل أن يقول قولا يلزم منه تكذيب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. لو قال أنا لا أكذب الرسول لكن يلزم منه تكذيب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. An example of the implied belying of the religion: if one says a statement that entails belying the Prophet, while he is saying, I do not reject what the Prophet said. So he's saying, I do not reject what the Prophet said, while at the same time saying another thing that entails belying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا التلازم بين الأمرين إذا كان بينا لا يخفى فلا ينظر إلى قوله إنه لا يريد أن إنه لا يكذب النبي ولا يرد كلامه أو إنه لا يكذب الدين ولا يرد ما جاء فيه. بل يحكم عليه بمقتضاه أي بالخروج من الإسلام. If this
لك عن هذا التلازم.
If this relation between saying such statement and belying the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is a clear one, everyone can see it. In this case, such a person would be judged as a blasphemer, regardless of his saying, I do not want to belie the religion, or I am not belying the Prophet. مثال ذلك أن يقول إنسان إن الله جسم فيقال عنه هذا كافر، فيقول قائل لكن هو ما أراد نسبة النقص إلى الله، فيكون الجواب لكن لزوم النقص من الجسمية بين لا يخفى على أحد، فلا ينظر إلى نيته أنه لم يرد نسبة النقص إلى الله، بل يحكم عليه بالكفر لأن التلازم بين الأمرين ظاهر لا يخفى. An example of that is for one to say Allah is a body. Then it would be said, which is correct, he is a blasphemer. Someone might say, but this person, by believing or saying that Allah is a body, did not want to attribute imperfection to Allah. He did not want to do that. The answer would be, still, the relation between imperfection and attributing the attributes of bodies is very clear, and thus such person would be judged as a blasphemer regardless of his intention. Does he have the intention to belittle Allah or attribute imperfection to him or not? Because the relation is very clear between these two matters. وهذا مقرر عند العلماء سواء الذين قالوا لازم المذهب مذهب والذين قالوا لازم المذهب ليس بمذهب. And this is something established among the scholars, whether they adopt the saying that what is implied by one's saying is a saying of his, or adopting the other opinion that what is implied by one's saying is not considered a saying of one. هذا الاختلاف هو إذا كان اللازم غير بين. This difference in opinions is or takes place between the scholars if the relation is not a clear relation between the actual statement and the implementation of this statement. But once the relation between one's statement and the implementation of this statement is clear, obvious, then both, according to both opinions, this is considered a saying of one. the implementation of the saying is considered a saying. بعض الناس ما عرفوا هذا فغلطوا غلطا شنيعا. Some people did not know that. They did not understand properly this issue, and thus they committed an enormous mistake. قالوا الذي يصف الله بالجهة وهو يعرف معنى الجهة لا يكفر لأنه ما أراد أن ينسب النقص إلى الله ولو كان في الحقيقة هذا فيه نسبة نقص إلى الله. قالوا لأن بعض العلماء قالوا لازم المذهب ليس بمذهب. Some people said, didn't some scholars say that the implementation of one's saying is not considered a saying of the person if he does not say it openly, explicitly? They said, they continued to say, yes, some scholars said that. They continued to say, so, based on that, if one attributes to Allah the existence in a direction while knowing what direction means, if one attributes to Allah the existence in a direction, we do not judge such people as blasphemers because really they did not want to attribute imperfection to Allah. هؤلاء غلطوا غلطا شنيعا لأن التلازم بين هذين الأمرين بين الجهة والحجم بين ظاهر. These people who said that committed an enormous mistake because the relation between being in a direction and having a volume and a shape and a limit is very clear. ولذلك لا تكون لا يكون هذا الأمر داخلا تحت ما اختلف فيه. That's why, and because of that, such matter would not be encompassed, would not be a matter of disagreement between the scholars who said one, the implementation of the statement is like one's statement, and those who said the implementation of the statement is not like, is not considered like one's statement. This matter would not be a matter of disagreement between these two opinions. Why? Because the relation is very clear between being in a direction and having a volume and limits. وهذه الأمور التي التلازم فيها ظاهر لم يختلف العلماء في شأنها أن لازم المذهب فيها مذهب. And these matters where the relation is very clear, very obvious between the saying and its implementations, the scholars did not have any disagreement, any difference in opinions about it, that the implementation in this case is considered a saying of the person because the relation is very clear between these two matters. هذا أمر غلط فيه بعض الناس في أيامنا فانتبهوا. This is a matter that some people nowadays committed an enormous mistake about it. So be careful about it. واضح؟ Is it clear? تفضل حاج.
نحتاج، بس بالأول نقرر القاعدة. طيب I'll try to repeat in English to make it more clear. على راسي على راسي على راسي. طيب I'll try to repeat in English إن شاء الله. The scholars have two opinions about a matter. What is this matter? If someone utters a statement and this statement inherits how if someone says a statement and this statement without going into the into if someone says a statement and this statement okay and this statement is inherent in it a meaning another meaning. If someone says a statement and in it there is an inherent meaning which the person did not express it, do we consider that this inherent meaning is professed by this person, and thus this person would be judged according to that? Or no, we do not consider the inherent meaning as if adopted, as it is adopted by the person, and thus we do not judge him according to the inherent meaning, but according to the professed statement. The scholars had two opinions about this matter. Some of them said, we judge him according to the inherent meaning also. If this meaning is inherent in what he said, so as if he said it. So we judge him according to both matters, what he said and the inherent meaning of his saying. Others said no, we judge him according to what he said, and we do not attribute to him the inherent meaning. Except if he says explicitly that he adopts it. This difference in opinions does not apply to all matters without an exception, no. This difference in opinions applies when the inherent meaning is not implied clearly by the professed statement. But in the case where the professed statement implies clearly the inherent meaning, it's clear for anyone, then one would be judged according to both the confessed statement and the inherent meaning. So when the scholars had different in opinions about this matter, They have difference in opinions about this matter. They had this difference in opinions in the matters, about the matters where the inherent meaning is not clearly implied by the professed statement. As when the professed statement implies clearly the inherent meaning, they did not have any difference in opinions about this. And both sides considered that the inherent meaning is the saying of the person just as his professed statement. And thus one would be judged according to that. An example of that is the saying of those who say Allah exists in a direction. They are judged to be blasphemers. Although, why? If someone asks why, you would say because saying that Allah exists in a direction implies that Allah has a form, a volume, a limit. One might say, but they did not say that. They did not say that Allah has a volume. Yeah, I agree with you that they perverted from the proper way. But to judge them as blasphemers, you are judging them as blasphemers for them saying that Allah exists in a direction. And you are saying because this implies that Allah would have a body, a volume, etc., which they did not say. This is an inherent meaning which was not professed by these people. The answer would be, in this case, the scholars do not make this differentiation between the inherent meaning and the professed statement, because the relation between them is very obvious for everyone. And this is why they judge them as blasphemers, even if they do not say that Allah is a body like that. They do not use this statement, or that Allah has a volume of the like. Up till here, is it clear? إلى هنا واضح. شو يا حاج حاج أسامة واضح مظهر شو يا أبو سارية بالعربي قلناها بالعربي أنا هلا عم بسأل واضح المعنى شو أبو سارية بعرف ما بعرف ما الحاج رياض عم بيجبني كان لنفس اللي انت عم تجبني لإله ما فش طولوا بالكن علي مش هو لي اياها تفضل yeah this is what حاج رياض suggested also and the brother suggested also inshallah we'll get to that is this clear step by step is no it is not clear Huh? No, this applies also to the conviction, but we are saying the one who says that because we do not know what is the conviction of one if one does not utter it. We don't know what's in their heart. Mm-hmm. What are you referring to? Huh? Yes, one needs to take a shahada to become a Muslim. Yes. Okay, I'll repeat in Arabic. Inshallah. العلماء اختلفوا هل لازم المذهب مذهب أو لا على قولين منهم من قال لازم المذهب مذهب ومنهم من قال لازم المذهب ليس بمذهب لازم المذهب يعني ما يلزم من القول ولو لم يتلفظ به هذا معنى لازم المذهب اختلف العلماء في ذلك منهم من قال لازم المذهب مذهب ومنهم من قال لازم المذهب ليس بمذهب وهذا الخلاف لا يجري في كل المسائل إنما يجري في المسائل التي لا يكون فيها اللازم بينا أما حيث يكون اللازم بينا فلم يختلفوا أن لازم المذهب هو مذهب ما يلزم من قول الشخص يكون قولا له حيث يكون اللازم بينا ممن صرح الذين ذكروا ذلك عدد يعني ليس واحدا ولا اثنين ولا ثلاثة من الأصوليين منهم العلائي في قواعده those who mentioned that This difference in opinions does not apply in the case when the relation is very clear, etc. Are several scholars of usul, usul al-fiqh, fundamental, the basis of fiqh. Among them is al-Ala'i. In his book, Al-Qawa'id. Naam, Al-Qawa'id. Or Al-Qawa'id Al-Fiqhiyya. In his book, Al-Qawa'id Al-Fiqhiyya. أما مثال التلازم الذي هو ليس بينا فكلكم يعرفه وهو قول المعتزلة بأن الله لا يرى في الآخرة يلزم من هذا تكذيب الدين لكنه ليس لازما بينا لذلك اختلف العلماء هل يكفرون بقولهم هذا أو لا يكفرون من قال لازم المذهب مذهب كفرهم ومن قال لازم المذهب ليس بمذهب لم يكفرهم في ذلك A very clear example that you all know is the saying of Mu'tazila. A very clear example on the case where there is difference in opinions about the matter is the saying of Mu'tazila when they said that Allah would not be seen in the hereafter by the believers. In reality, this saying, it is inherent in this saying belying the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, belying the religion. But because it is not a very clear relation that can be noticed by every person, the scholars had difference in opinions about them. Those Some among them judged them as blasphemers for this saying, and some did not judge them as blasphemers for that. They said, because the relation between saying this, having this opinion, having this conviction, and denying the religion is not clear for everyone. They did not say that they reject what is mentioned in the religion. The relation is not clear for everyone, although it is there, it exists, but it is not clear for everyone. This is why we do not judge them as blasphemers. This is one example about the case when the relation is not clear for everyone. خلوني كمل ولا لا شو حاج اللي هو دومين حاج they did not believe they عن مين عم تحكي عن المعتزلة المعتزلة thought that they were saying the truth this is what they thought most of the misguided people the people who have different religions every one of them thinks that he is following the true path. We are not talking about this. We are talking about the judgment. قال رحمه الله والإيمان هو الإقرار باللسان والتصديق بالجنان. The author said joining the Islamic faith is by professing with the tongue and believing in the heart the two testifications of faith. وهذا هو القول المعتمد الصحيح. This is the reliable and correct saying. أن الإنسان لا يصير مسلما إلا بهذين الأمرين. That the person does not become a Muslim and a believer except with these two matters. أن يعتقد بقلبه وأن ينطق بلسانه. To believe in one's heart and to profess with the tongue. إلى حد أن النووي رحمه الله نقل الإجماع على ذلك. To a point that النووي, may Allah have mercy on him, copied that the nation agreed unanimously on this. وقال بعض العلماء عند الله يكفي الاعتقاد بالقلب ولو لم ينطق باللسان يكون عند الله مؤمنا ولو كنا نحن لا نحكم عليه بالإيمان والإسلام لكن عند الله يكون مؤمنا إن لم يعرض عليه الشهادتان فيأبى. Few scholars said if one is a blasphemer then he holds the correct belief in his heart. He believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah properly without uttering it with the tongue. He would be considered a believer to Allah. For us, we do not judge him as a believer until hearing the testification of faith from him. But they said to Allah, he would be considered as a believer. Except if he is presented by the two testifications of faith, if someone asks him to utter the testification of faith and he refuses. In this case, he would be a blasphemer to Allah and to us.
هذا القول ضعيف ليس معتمدا. This is a weak saying. It is not a reliable saying. ويكفي في بيان ضعفه أو مما يدل على ضعفه أن النووي نقل الإجماع على خلافه. What shows that this is a weak saying is that النووي copied the consensus on the opposite saying. That one has to utter also. It's not enough to believe in the heart. One has to utter الشهادتين to embrace Islam.
وهذا ما يدل عليه حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفعله وفعل أصحابه.
This is what is shown by the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, by his doing, what he did and what his companions did after him.
فإنه قال أمرت بقتال الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله, وفي بعض الروايات حتى يقولوا.
In the hadith it is mentioned that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not consider the people who are against Islam to become Muslims except if they utter the testification of faith.
وهذا الحديث رواه البخاري ومسلم وغيرهما.
This hadith is narrated by البخاري, Muslim and others.
بل هو حديث متواتر.
Not just that, it is a متواتر حديث.
فلا عبرة بعد ذلك بقول يخالفه.
So no consideration would be given after that to a saying that contradicts such a متواتر حديث.
قال رحمه الله وجميع ما صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشرع والبيان كله حق.
The author said all of what was authenticated, all what was authenticated about the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning Islamic law and its explanation is true.
وذلك لأن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لا بد أن يبلغ.
This is so because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام has to convey what Allah ordered him to convey.
ويستحيل عليه الكذب في التبليغ أو التقصير فيه.
And it does not befit the Prophet to attribute lying to him or falling short in conveying what Allah ordered him to convey.
لذلك نعتقد جزما, it is
لذلك نعتقد جزما أن كل ما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو حق وصدق على الرأس والعين.
That's why we believe firmly that everything that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام came with is correct and truthful.
رضي من رضي وأبى من أبى.
Regardless of who believes in that and who does not believe in that, who accepts that and who does not accept that.
وكل ما أتى به الرسول فحقه التصديق والقبول.
هكذا قال المرزوقي في منظومته. وهكذا نقول.
This is what was said by al-Marzuqi in his
poem which is memorized by the little children in the different Islamic countries. And this is what we say. Everything the Prophet came with, we have to accept it and believe in it.
قال رحمه الله والإيمان واحد وأهله في أصله سواء والتفاضل بينهم بالخشية والتقى ومخالفة الهوى وملازمة الأولى. The author said, faith is one. Believers are equal in its essence. However, superiority of some believers over others in the degree of faith is according to their fear of Allah, piety, rejection of evil inclination, and steadfastness to the more appropriate. الإيمان لما كان هو التصديق بما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أصله لا يختلف بين إنسان وإنسان بين حال وحال. Because believing means to adhere in one's heart to what the Prophet, to have the conviction that what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came with is true, is truthful, then the base of the belief does not change from one person to another and from one situation to another. إذن في أيش يكون الفرق بين المؤمنين؟ بأيش إذن يمتاز مؤمن عن مؤمن آخر؟ إذا كانوا مشتركين في أصل الإيمان، امتياز مؤمن عن مؤمن آخر، كون مؤمن له مزية على مؤمن آخر، هو من ناحية التقوى وخشية الله عز وجل، اجتناب المعاصي، أداء الواجبات، الإتيان بما هو أولى، وهكذا. If this is the case, then what differentiate one believer from another? I mean, what gives one believer a different status than another believer? If all of them have in common the basis of the belief, what then gives one of them a higher status above another one? What does that is how much do they apply the rules of the religion? To what extent they apply that? This is related to the degree of fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is related to the degree of exalting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is related to the degree related to avoiding sinning, fulfilling the obligations, adhering to do what is best, etc. That's what makes one believer having a status above another one. ولذلك لأن المؤمنين في أصل الإيمان لا يتفاوتون. قال الماتريدية: الإيمان لا يزيد ولا ينقص. The base of the belief is a common issue between all the believers. This is why the Maturidis said, Al-Iman la yazidu wa la yanqus. وَمَعَنَوْهُ بِذَلِكَ أَنَّ أَصْلَهُ لَا يَزِيدُ وَلَا يَنْقُسُ. أَنَّ مَا يَحْصُلُ بِهِ الْإِيمَانِ لَا يَزِيدُ وَلَا يَنْقُسُ. What they meant by that what they meant by that is that what makes a person a believer does not increase and does not decrease. This is something common to all the believers. وَأَمَّا الْأَشَاعِرَ فَقَالُوا الْإِيمَانُ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ. وإنما عنوا بذلك ليس أصله، إنما عنوا بذلك ثمرته. The Ash'aris said الإيمان يزيد وينقص. They did not mean by that what makes a person a believer changes from one person to another. No. They meant by that the status of the believers are different. One becomes better, and after a certain period of time, he might become worse. One might become in a worse situation, and after a certain period of time, he might become in a better religious situation. If you want to translate literally their statements, if someone translates literally their statements, then he would say, the Maturidis say, the belief does not increase nor decrease. The Ash'aris say that the belief increases and decreases. في الحقيقة ليس بينهما خلاف، هذا اختلاف في اللفظ، هل يعبر هكذا أو لا يعبر. أما في المعنى فليس بينهما خلاف. About this matter, in reality there is no difference in opinions between the Ash'aris and the Maturidis. It's just a difference in terminology. Can we express this meaning in this way, or we cannot? This is the difference between them. As for the meaning itself, they do not have different opinions about it. قال رحمه الله والمؤمنون كلهم أولياء الرحمن وأكرمهم عند الله أطوعهم وأتبعهم للقرآن. The author said, all the believers are protected by Allah, and among them the most honored by Allah are those who are the most obedient and compliant with the Quran. العبارة التي قالها الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه المؤمنون كلهم أولياء الرحمن تحتمل معنيين. The statement mentioned by الطحاوي المؤمنون كلهم أولياء الرحمن can bear two meanings. المعنى الأول أن مراده بالمؤمنين المؤمنون الكاملون، هؤلاء هم الذين بلغوا درجة الولاية الخاصة. الذين لهم عند الله درجة خاصة عالية. The first meaning is that he meant by the term al-mu'minun, not the believers in general, rather he meant the perfect believers, those who have the high status among them. So he would be saying that these people have a special status to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They have a special merit. Allah yu'tihim ataya khassa bihim, la yu'tiha li baqil mu'minin. Allah endows upon them special endowments that He does not endow upon other believers. Hadha ahadul ma'nayayn, this is one of the two meanings. ويحتمل أن يكون مراده أن المؤمنين كلهم الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله أولياء الرحمن أي لهم عند الله الولاية العامة وهي أن الله تعالى يعطيهم عطية يشتركون فيها كلهم يحميهم الله تعالى كلهم من عذاب الكفار لا يعذب واحد منهم بمثل عذاب الكفار ومقداره لا يكونون مثل الكفار في العذاب. This statement can bear another meaning, which is the believers, all those who believe in Allah and the Prophet, the Muslims, all the Muslims, Allah endows upon them, gives them something in common between all of them, which is their situation, even if they are tortured, would not be similar, like in the same degree of the situation of the blasphemers. Even if they are tortured, the severity and the degree and the duration of their torture would not be like the torture of the disbelievers. يحتمل أن يكون المعنى هذا ويحتمل أن يكون المعنى هذا. There are these two possibilities. Maybe الطحاوي meant this and maybe he meant the other meaning. أما المعنى الأول فيشهد له قول الله تعالى ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. As for the first meaning, the verses 62 and 63 in Surah Yunus stand indications of it. In these verses, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told us that the believers who are pious, righteous Muslims, they are not... They do not get afraid in the hereafter. They do not get worried or sad. These are the people who believed in Allah and the Prophet and obeyed Allah in all what He ordered, avoided
what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered to avoid. They will get the good news before dying and after that. This is a daraja khasa bihaula. This is a specific merit for these people. وأما الاحتمال الثاني فيشهد له قول الله تبارك وتعالى أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون. المراد بالفاسق هنا الكافر لأنه أشد الفسق. The second possibility, or let me say the 18th verse of Surah As-Sajda, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ, stands as a proof for what was said. It means the believer and the blasphemer are not equal. They would never be equal. والولاية الخاصة التي ذكرناها لا ينالها العبد إلا بالإيمان ثم الاستقامة بطاعة الله. The special endowment of Allah to be a wali, one does not reach it except by believing in Allah and the Prophet properly and do the obligations, refrain from sinning, and add to that a lot of good doings, a lot of optional types of obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Al-istiqamatu bit-ta'a ma'naha ada'u al-wajibat واجتناب المحرمات والإكثار من النوافل. فمن لم يكن كذلك لا يبلغ الولاية, لا يبلغ تلك الدرجة عند الله مهما صلى ومهما صام. The one who is not attributed with that does not reach that high level, regardless of how much he prays or fasts, etc. وَهَذَا لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. To be like that, to reach that level, one needs to learn. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَعَلَّمْ مَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ تَعَلُّمَهُ مِنْ عِلْمِ الدِّينِ لَا يَبْلُغُ تِلْكَ الدَّرَجَةِ. The one who does not learn, acquire what Allah made an obligation upon him to acquire among the matters of the religion, does not reach that level. وَالَّذِي لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ بِالطَّاعَةِ لَا يَبْلُغُ تِلْكَ الدَّرَجَةِ. Who does not adhere to the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not reach that level. فَلَيْسَتِ الْوِلَايَةِ شَيْئًا بالتمني سهل الحصول عليه, إنما هي بما ذكرنا. So إنما يكون ميسرا لمن يسره الله له.
So becoming, reaching that level of piety is not something that one gets to it by just hoping to become like that or desiring to become like that. It would be facilitated for the one whom Allah willed for him to reach that level. لكن تحتاج الولاية إلى كسر النفس وقهرها. To reach that level, one needs to to act many times against his desires and what he leans towards. وهذا شيء لا يفعله أغلب الناس. And this is something which is not done by most of the people. إلا أشخاصا الله أراد لهم علو الدرجة فيفعلون ذلك فيصلون إلى تلك الدرجات العالية. Except certain people whom Allah willed for them to reach that level. So Allah تبارك وتعالى helps them and enables them to do what it takes to reach that level. نقف هنا. Let us stop here from now. والله تعالى أعلم. Allah knows best. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, go ahead. Let me say, so don't ever rush to judge a person to be a wali. Be cautious about this. Be cautious about this. Do not rush. Subhanallah. If people, yani if we did not see Sheikh Abdullah, maybe we would think that many things mentioned about Al-Awliya exaggerations. Maybe. So do not rush to judge a person to be a wali. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, among the followers of the companions, said that he tried 30 years. He kept trying 30 years to make his to act in the proper way regardless of his desires, not to follow his desires, rather to follow what is what one should do according to the religion. He said 30 years I kept doing that until I could control myself. If Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir said that it took him 30 years to reach that point, what would be the situation of others than him? Allah is generous. He gives whatever he wants to whom, whatever he will, to whomever he will. But just to have an idea. Just to have an idea. MashaAllah. For years and years and years and years, Sheikh Abdullah did not eat except little amount of food every time he ate. Always. Even if someone brought him a gift, a type of food that I know he liked, many times, a lot, most of the times, he would not eat from it. He might eat like this much sometimes. This much, I'm not exaggerating. Just to make the person happy. That he ate from it. And then he would give it, he would offer it to other people to eat it. Well, I think most of the people, they act in a different way. I think. تفضل يا حاج. Muslim al-Asi. لحظة حاج. And what's harder than this, what's much harder than this, is to control one's tongue so one does not talk bad about other people, unrightfully about other people, and to control one's heart so one doesn't think ill about other Muslims, and to be humble, really humble with other Muslims, and not to think that one, not to look down at any other, at the Muslims. Yani, this is more difficult than controlling the amount of food that one eats. Some people, they control this amount for worldly purposes. They can do that. But this is more difficult. Allah yassir lana zalik. Tafaddal habibi. La. Lakin yughfaru lahu. Yughfaru lahu. Lahu daraja khassa bishahadatihi. بس لا يكون وليا. لا. إذا مات عاصيا من غير التوبة لا يكون وليا. Does he understand what he says? What does he understand from that? What does this mean for him? That he will ask Allah, or he means that he hears the kalam of Allah? They will be asking Allah. Then we tell him, say, I will ask Allah, expressed in this way. وَفِيكُمْ طيب. بارك الله في شوية تفضل أبو صلاح. في اللازم البين بقوله جسم أثبت معاني الجسمية, فإيش ينفعه قوله لك الأجسام؟ هذا داخل, وهو صرح, مش هذا تصريح منه, ما مش باللازم كمان, تصريح وإقرار منه, فلا ينفعه إنكاره بعد ذلك. I didn't pay attention to this question. What does someone do if they are mute, cannot speak? How do they testify? The one who's mute cannot testify. If he can move his lips, he moves his lips with the statement of testification of faith. If he cannot, then it is enough for him to believe in his heart. Now for us, he can make a sign to make us understand that he believed in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Na'am. شو يعني؟ لا فهم شو يعني.
ما عم بسألك أنا.
فهم شو يعني God، شو يعني فهم.
فهم يكون مكلفا، إذا كان هكذا يكون مكلفا. بارك الله فيكم. نعم تفضل.
إيه
صح. نعم تفضل. نعم
بمعنى إذا بلغ، إذا استقام، إذا استقام يعني إذا بلغ درجة الولاية بعد هذا لا يتغير حاله إلى أن يصير مسخوطا عليه عند الله. الذي قالوا إنه إن الله يحفظه من الكفر هو الذي وصل إلى درجة الولاية، لأن هذا ما دلت عليه الأحاديث: من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب، وما يزال عبدي وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه، وما يزال عبد ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به، وبصره الذي يبصر به، ويده التي يبطش بها، ورجله التي يمشي بها، ولئن سألني لأعطينه، ولئن استعاذ بي لأعيذنه. هذه الدرجة ذكرت في الحديث لمن فعل هذه الأشياء: أدى الواجبات واجتنب المحرمات وأكثر من النوافل. وجاء في الحديث: ويكون من أوليائي وأصفيائي. هذا ورد في هؤلاء ليس في غيرهم. وفيك قوهد what excuse me what do you mean immediately or like what did he use usually to make dua? I don't know. I don't know. It was not easy for him to talk. He used to talk. It was very difficult to talk with a loud voice for him. So in the last 2 days, I don't know what he was saying. It was difficult for him to talk with a loud voice. تفضل فوزي. In the verse that you mentioned, Aslamna does not refer to the matter of the religion. In this verse, Aslamna means we surrendered. We let ourselves be under the ruling of the Muslims. Well,
And that's why they were portrayed in Al-Quran that they were not believers. Because as it is mentioned in Al-Quran, they did not hold the belief in their hearts. Rather, they apparently, they did what the Muslims asked them to do. But truly, they did not believe. So Aslamna in that verse does not refer to embracing al-Islam. It has the meaning of istaslamna, that is, like we surrender, we do what the Muslims ask us to do. So there is no contradiction between this verse and what Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi said. Wafiki Fawzi. He's not pious enough to refrain from interpreting Al-Quran without knowledge, he might rush to interpret this verse in a meaning which is not correct.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. The question is, the first question, if a person says he believes at it as it is about Al-Jariyah, he means Hadith Al-Jariyah, what would be the judgment of this person? If this person believes that this is a confirmed Hadith from the Prophet, as some scholars said, then if he believes in it, what's the problem? Well, the problem lies in the term that he's using, as it is. What does he understand from as it is? What does he think the hadith is? It depends on what he thinks the hadith is. Either this statement has a meaning for him or it does not have a meaning, as it is. This is, if he means I do not know the meaning of the hadith, then we ask him, if you do not know the meaning of the hadith, then you have to believe, or we tell him, you have to believe that Allah does not resemble the creation, that Allah does not reside in the sky. Allah does not reside in a place. Allah does not reside in a direction. Allah does not resemble the creation. If he believes in that, then there is no problem. If he says with his tongue, as it is, to take that away, to insinuate and to say later that Allah exists above, in the direction of above, then this is a blasphemer. This is a kafir. And many people do it this way. They say this statement, and this is what they seek to say. Likewise, about the hadith of An-Nuzul. Some people say, we believe in it as it is. What does that mean, as it is? Either you know its meaning, or you do not know its meaning. If you know its meaning, why do you say as it is? If you do not know its meaning, then you don't. What are you believing in? You are believing that the Prophet said it without knowing its meaning. Okay, we're not talking about that. We are talking about believing in Allah. Do you get me? Is it clear? I don't know who sent the question, but do you get me? Is it clear? When someone says, I believe in this hadith as it is, does he know the meaning of the hadith or he does not know the meaning of the hadith? If he knows the meaning of the hadith, why is he going around and saying as it is? If he knows the meaning of the hadith, really, the proper meaning, let him clarify it and benefit the people. If he does not know the meaning of the hadith, then let him ask those you know about the meaning. And don't rush to say, to interpret it. And this is not what we are talking about. Why is he bringing it if he does not know its meaning? Why is he bringing it up? This is not... If you are talking about in the level of belief, do you bring up something that you don't understand its meaning? Isn't it strange? And if this person understands what it means, okay, let him benefit us with that. If he really understands what it means. But most of the times, the people who say that are people who liken Allah to the creation and they are afraid to voice it out. They hide behind such statements. They want to take you step by step to fall in the same hole where they are falling. They know if they tell you bluntly, Allah resides in the sky or in the direction of above, you wouldn't accept. So they start step by step by saying such statements, ambiguous statements. Isn't it strange when you talk about the belief, don't you need to talk in a clear way? Why do you bring ambiguous matters when you are talking about the belief? Well, there is a big danger in committing a mistake. Why do you do that? Isn't this suspicious? It is suspicious. The second question, if a person believes about Allah having a hand, then it says, because it is mentioned in the Quran. No, it is not mentioned in Al-Quran. What is mentioned in Al-Quran, Al-Yad. And as we said, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, Al-Yad is a term in the Arabic language that bears 14 different meanings. Al-Fayruz Abadi, the author of Al-Qamus, said that Al-Yad in the Arabic language bears 14 different meanings. So if someone translates it by hand, then this person is choosing specific meanings and then translating this word to the English language according to meanings which he chose, which is not correct, it's not proper. The Muslims do not want to follow what he chooses. The Muslims want to follow what the Prophet came with. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, if someone has the true understanding of the matters of the religion, this person would say, Allah is attributed with Al-Yad, as mentioned in Al-Quran, and it is not like our hands, it's not a body. Like Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said, He made it clear that would be in compliance with the religion and Al-Quran. Not to say hand about Al-Yad, not to say Allah is attributed with face. This is not what is mentioned in Al-Quran. If someone recites the whole Quran, he would never come over the word face in Al-Quran. Yes, in Al-Quran there is wajh. But who told you that wajh means face? This is what you chose. Likewise, yad. Who told you that yad means hand? This is your choice. We want what is in compliance with the religion, not just what you think. I'm not addressing anyone among you. I mean, this is how you talk to the person. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. The scholars of Islam, let me repeat this thing and adhere to it. The scholars of Islam, since long time ago, whether among al-Salaf or al-Khalaf, said very clearly, it is not permissible to translate al-Yad. Some of them said to this language, to that language. It is not permissible to translate al-Wajh when attributed to Allah, al-Yad when attributed to Allah, to other languages other than the Arabic language, because these terms do not bear the same meanings in other languages as in the Arabic language. It is not permissible to do that. So we do not, if someone attributes hand to Allah, then it depends on his understanding. The word hand has in the English language several meanings. Let this person tell us what meaning did he mean. As if he claims that he wants to do and say what is said in Al-Quran, he is not doing that, because hand is not mentioned in Al-Quran. What is mentioned in Al-Quran? Al-Yad. If he wants to say what is mentioned in Al-Quran, let him say Al-Yad. Not to say hand or face or the like. Barakallahu fikum. If he meant by hand this organ or something similar to this organ, this is kufr. This is attributing Allah with the attributes of the creation. It depends on his statement and his understanding, the judgment. Barakallahu fikum. Khalluna nuhallil. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.